Like I said, I don't have this figured out. I've been on several wilderness trips. I've been in our cell group. I've been on the Togo trip, and I keep hearing over and over again, like people say, like, "Oh, wow, you're a pastor and you struggle with that stuff?" And I'm like, "Yes, I am a pastor, and yes, I do struggle." And let me just fill you in. The other pastors struggle. Mark, you struggle with stuff? Yeah, you know. Rarely. I know it's rare. Listen, I work with these guys. They got issues. They're working through things. They're struggling through things. You know, I said to the Togo team, I'm like, "I don't know if that's a good thing. Like, you think we've got it all put together? We don't have it all put together, okay?" But just as we're looking through this, we're all asking the question, how do we do this Christian life? We've got all this stuff going on. We got to work. We've got friends. We've got family. We've got kids. We've got money. We've got serving in the church. We've got reading our Bibles. We've got praying. We've got witnessing. We've got serving. There's all these things that are like coming at us, right? We got to make decisions every day we wake up. We got to make decisions and say, what am I living for? What's this going to be about? And we live in a society, this technology, you know, craze is just, it's just crazy to watch the technology and everything, how fast everything is happening and the information that we have. I can remember in third grade, I can remember having the old phone, you know, with the dial thing, you know, and it goes back and you go back. And I can remember looking, it was like this yellow phone, I can remember looking at it going, I'm sure there's some day that we're going to be able to talk to somebody and see them at the same time. I'm like, that'll blow my mind. That'll be like 20 years from now. Well, that 20 years is here. And now, you know, you can, you know, Skype and video chat and all this other stuff. But the technology and all the stuff that is happening, I mean, we've got on-demand everything, you know, on-demand movies, on-demand music, when I want it, where I want it, how I want it, how fast I want it, stop it, start it in different rooms. I mean, it's all, you know, it's for us. We've got sports everywhere, Iowa State and Iowa, and we've got work, and we've got this great church, and we've got money, and we've got jobs, and we've got all of these things that just, we're really busy. And there's a lot of great things, but I don't know if it's a good thing at the same time. Looking at all of the stuff that we have going on, we really need to step back and say, what are we doing that matters? What are we doing that matters? And what has God called us to with all of this stuff? I remember Mark and I were having a conversation a couple years ago about the American church. And, you know, you often talk about, and even Pastor, it's amazing how Pastor's message this morning really correlates with today and kind of what, and we didn't talk, and the whole way that this all came together is really just a God thing, I think. But the American church, you know, we don't, and Pastor alluded to this morning, we don't have this persecution going on, you know, where there's people are being thrown in jail, and like Pastor said, I don't know of anyone that's died over the gospel. But Mark and I were talking a couple of years ago about the biggest threat to the American church is just busyness. Just busyness and good things. A lot of good things, but not the greatest of things. So there's just a lot of good things going on. We're busy, 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 busy. And we're doing a lot of good things, but are we doing the best things? Are we doing the greatest things that we can be doing? And that's really, for me, is a challenge. I've got 5 kids. Is that echoing back here, or is that a little bit? Okay, if someone can fix that, it's ringing in my ear. I've got 5 kids, and this is something that's really just starting to... God's really working on my heart and saying, Abe, what are you doing that matters? What are you doing and saying, this is the vision for my life. This is God. This is what you've called me to do as a father, as a husband, as a friend. What are you calling me to do? Ephesians 6, if you want to turn there, I'm just going to quickly talk about, and Pastor, this is really crazy because there's like several verses in here that I've got in my thing that you shared this morning, and Ephesians 6, and it's just talking about the armor of God. And really, that whole idea of putting on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, Verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. And it goes through that passage. And really, I'm looking at that verse more of let's not take a stand against, you know, Pastor was talking about the stand against the evil. I'm really saying let's take a stand against the good. Now some of you are going, this doesn't make any sense at all. You know, like what do you mean? This is all good stuff, and we live in this society. We've got everything. We've lived in this great country. We've got freedoms. We're able to do what we want to do. But really, to step back and say, what do I need to say no to that are good things so that I can say yes to the greatest things that God has called me to do? That's very, very difficult. I don't know about you, but that's very difficult because there's a lot of good things that I like to do and want to do and get asked to do. And really, I have to sit back and go, man, Lord, what is it that I need to say no to that's good so I can say yes to the greatest things? Let me ask you a question. What's your vision for your life? Now, when I say vision, like, what's that thing that's out there that's going, I have got to do this. Like, if I don't do this, this is going to wreck me. This is just going to, I have got to do this. This is the thing that God has just laid on my heart. I am focused on this. This is the thing that I have to do. Just think about that in your own life. What is that thing in your life that you would say, I've got to do this? This is something that God has laid on my heart. And I think this is my concern, and I can remember Mark talking about this about the work thing. You know, we some of you might have a plan, like you've got a 5-year plan for your finances, for your work, for all of these things. Do I really have a plan for my life that what God has called me to do, and what does that look like with my family, with my friends, with work, with being here at the church and being serving, but what is the vision for your life? All right. So what, narrowing it down, focusing everything down. What is it that God commands us to do? Just shout it out to us. What are like the commands? What's the greatest command? What? Okay, the greatest command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Okay. Second is love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Then what? Okay. Matthew 28. Go, therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then what?
Wherever you eat and drink, wherever you do, do all the Lord God.
Okay? Good. One other command we see, you know, talking about taking care of the poor, taking care of the widows, taking care of the orphans, which is something that we don't talk a lot about. That's something that's like, oh man, how does that look, and how do we do that? But when we look at these commands, when we look at the things that God has called us to, let's just stop and think about that. Man, God, you have saved me out of sin. All these things that, when we talk about the gospel and what the gospel means to us, and he saved us out of that, and he's called us to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples. Loving other people. When you narrow it all down, like, okay, that's it. That's it. And it sounds really easy, doesn't it? Like, that's, yeah, a piece of cake, right? And then when you sit back and go, man, but it seems so distracting. There's all these other things that are pulling me away from that. That just, it's this constant battle back and forth. Back and forth is this constant battle. And really, I think even this morning when Pastor talked, you talked about that we're in a battle. We are in a battle. Every day we wake up, we are in a battle. And I think that's the thing that is scary, is that it's really easy to see, like, okay, here's a sin issue, here's a sin issue, here's a sin issue. And yet at the other time, it's like, am I just busying myself? Am I just busying myself to where I'm doing a lot of good things, but I don't know if I'm doing the things that God has called me to do. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what stage, you know, for me, it is my children. I have 5 children. I mean, I think about that and I go, oh man, I got 5 kids at home and I've got a wife at home. That takes a lot of my mind. That takes a lot of my thought. It takes a lot of my time and energy and all stuff. Some of you are saying, man, my kids are gone. Okay, well, what is it for you? What is it that God's called you to do in this stage of life? Is Gerald here? Where's Gerald? You know, Gerald, I know you've talked in different times. You're like, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out sitting on my, you know, couch somewhere. I want to go out flying. I want to go out with an attitude that said, I'm going all the way to the end. I'm pushing all the way to the end. And that's a huge challenge to me. Just to say, am I pushing all the way to the end and saying, I've got a vision for what God has laid in my heart, and I'm going to do that. And that's the thing that I'm going to focus in on and zero in on. And you really have been a huge encouragement to me on that end. So thank you for that. Appreciate that. Okay, how many of you guys have heard the story of Nehemiah? Nehemiah. Okay, we've heard it. If you want to turn there, Nehemiah. When we talk about focus, we talk about vision, when we talk about zeroing on what God's called us to do, Nehemiah is a great example. Nehemiah chapter. Well, we're going to be in chapter 6 is the main part, but he's the cupbearer to the king. He has this. He finds out about Jerusalem, and the whole city is just gone awry. It's crazy. The walls are broken down, and he has this, you know, he has this vision that says, I need to go back there and rebuild this city, rebuild this wall. He goes to the king. He asks permission. He prays. The king says, yes, you can go. He goes. He writes letters. He plans. He gets there. He goes and follows. He goes around and checks everything out. And there's a lot of stuff going wrong. There's a lot of problems going on, but he focuses in, and he's got, you know, God has called him to build the wall, and that's what he's going to do, right? So he builds this wall. He gets all the people behind him. Let's go. Let's do this. This is from God. We're gonna build this wall. He starts building the wall, and he starts to get Sanballat, the guy he's the governor in the area. He comes with his buddies, his entourage, and starts to criticize him and says, "What are you doing? This is ridiculous." There's criticism. There's threats. There's all of these things, and in chapter 6, verse 3, and this is just a this is it. This is the thing I want us to think about and think about wherever you're at, wherever you're working through life. Think about this. So in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? 4 times they sent the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. That really is that passage, and this is it, and this is kind of this is what I want us just to stare at and think about as we talk about these things. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Really what Nehemiah was saying is, hey, God has called me to this, I'm focused on this, this is what he wants me to do. I'm not going to be distracted by these other things. And this really came out of this book by Andy Stanley called Visioneering. And if you haven't read this book, we're going to be selling it back there if you want to read it. It's a great book just about focus, about vision for your family, work. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in here, but it's a great book. But I read that, and I thought, man, that is a great just phrase for me to keep thinking and saying, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. God, what have you called me to? What is it the thing that I need got to focus on and say no to the good things so that I can say yes to the greatest things, okay? So that Nehemiah has a great, it's just a great challenge. That whole story, you know, he ends up building the wall in 52 days, and it's a great story. I mean, it's a great deal. Okay, so here's just a couple of things that I just want to touch on really quickly that there's a lot of things that we can focus on, different subjects and different things. And some of you aren't going to like this because it's going to, I don't know, offend you, or I don't know what it is, but I'm not standing up here saying I got this figured out. I'm not saying I got this nailed and I've got this all figured out. But these are just a couple things, and this was talked about this morning as well. Your mind. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. God, what do you have on my mind must be focused on you. I must spend time with you. I must meditate on you. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. It's so quickly, our minds are just filled with so much information, so much stuff. I mean, we've got smartphones in our pocket. They're with us 24/7. We got information coming in. We got ESPN. We've got all this stuff, Facebook. I mean, we've got all this information coming in us. And it's almost like we've filled our minds with stuff. And the more we fill our mind with stuff, the more we say, we've got a little bit of room here for Jesus, a little bit of time, just, oh man, got a lot of stuff coming at me. You know, man, making that time and setting your mind apart to say, may my focus be in my mind, that's where that battle starts, right? And Pastor talked about this morning. It starts in our minds. When we start to focus on spiritual things, when we take the time to be with the Lord, meditate, and get kind of our battle plans for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year. Secondly, pretty much just stopping. Just stopping. Having time alone with God. One of the things that we've gotten to go on with is wilderness trips. And taking several youth on wilderness trips, taking men's trips. One of the things we do on the wilderness trips is we have a solo time. And it's really just a time for us to be with God by ourselves, nobody else. For 5, 6, 7 hours, somewhere in there. You're out in the woods by yourself. If anyone has ever done that, you start hearing a lot of different voices. And you start hearing God speaking to you in a lot of different crazy ways, like, man, I've never stopped. I've never stopped doing things in busyness to actually let God just talk to me and for me to hear him speak back to me through his word, prayer, all the things. Even in Togo, those are the guys that have gone in Togo. Almost every person that went to Togo was like, it was so nice. We didn't have laptops. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have email. We didn't have any of those things. And it was just like, oh, man, it was so refreshing. So I guess my question is for all of us is to say, do we have time planned in our week to just be alone with God? Just to be still, to hear from God, to hear what he's got to say to us. Now, for some of you, this is going to be really weird, but I love to take baths. Anybody else love to take baths? Thank you, for those of you four that do other. Now, most people are like, I don't like sitting in my own scum. That's understandable if you're dirty. For me, like, the bathtub is like my oasis. It's like my place to get away from it all. You know, I got 5 kids, and it's just craziness. And for me, that's like, I've got nothing in there. I can just focus. I look at a white wall. It's great, you know. And it's just this time for me. I know it sounds. Some of you are like, oh, my goodness, this guy is messed up. That's true. But really, it is. I enjoy it. I love it. It's just like my time to, oh, I can sit down, and I can just think and pray and not have all the stuff flying at me. So I really have to do that. Out of this book called Replenish, it says maybe part of the reason we have such a hard time with no is that we aren't still long enough to discover the yes. Think about this. This would be a great exercise on a personal retreat. Ask yourself, what is the higher yes in my life that will become the filter through which I make decisions? Okay? I talked to a cell group guy the other day, and we were talking about kind of this and just how we use our time and stuff that God's given to us. And he said they were talking in their cell group, and he kind of threw out like, hey, let's do during the weekend, we're going to say like no technology, no TV, no cell phones, no computers, no ESPN, no DVR, nothing for 2 days. somebody in his group says, I'm not doing it. I can't. I can't do it. Now, I don't know. That's a pretty good challenge, isn't it? Oh, man. No phone, no TV, no ESPN. Are you kidding me? I mean, my life's going to fall apart here. Okay? But it's just a great challenge to think, wow, am I that consumed with those things that I can't say no to that? One other thought that I want to talk about is just the idea of money. Now, this is where it gets personal. Somebody asked me several months ago, we were talking about accountability, asking guys how we're doing. You know, we'll ask each other, like, hey, how's your thought life? You're looking at pornography? How are you and your wife doing? How is life? How are you in the Bible? How are you reading? How are you praying? How things going? Are we doing all right? He says, we never ask, are you giving faithfully? I'm like, man, that you're getting personal now. That's like personal stuff. But we don't normally ask that. We don't want to ask that to each other and say, you know, are you giving faithfully? Are you giving to the Lord that God has given us this money? That we are stewards of his money? And that was such a challenge to me in the sense of thinking, you know, how am I using the money that God has given to me? I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. What am I saying no to so that I can say yes to? We had somebody come into our office several years ago and gave all of the pastors a $100 bill with this book. It says, here's $100. This is God's money. Spend it wisely and use it to expand the kingdom of God. So we all get this $100 bill. And it's like burning a hole in our pockets. We're all holding on to it, thinking about it, praying about it. Like, what are we going to do with this $100? $100. Expand the kingdom of God. What can I do with $100? Expand the kingdom of God. That thing sat in my book for 3 months. What am I going to do with $100? Expand the kingdom of God, man. $100 of God's money. What am I going to do with that? And I couldn't do anything. It just sat there. I just kept thinking about, like, oh, I could do that, but that's not going to be a great decision. I could do that. Finally, I gave it to a ministry that would be, you know, a ministry that we support in the area and said, you know, here, this was the thing I gave it to, was this ministry in the area. Some of you might say, I give to the church. That's God's money, and then here's my money. And I guess I want to challenge, this is a challenge for me, and I want to challenge you. Do I look at all the money that God has given to me as that $100? What can I do to give God the most glory and expand the kingdom of God with the money that God has given to me? I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Lord, what can I say no to that's good stuff so that I can say yes to the greatest things, the best things, and say no to that cool thing so I can say yes to helping out a missionary or helping out whatever, or giving to the building fund or helping a person in need or whatever. And that's just this constant battle, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Time. We only have so much time. What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our time? How are we spending it? How are we using it? What are we doing with it? Ephesians 5, and this was said this morning too. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Time, you can't buy time, right? We can't buy time. What are we doing? Working, marriage, kids. The time that God has given to us is but a vapor. It's here and it's gone. And that, I guess the challenge is just for us to, let's use the time. Let's take advantage of the time that God's given to us and minister to people and serve people. And that, and really is the other thing, is just this whole idea of serving. And, you know, this, we've been called to make disciples. We've been called to love our neighbors. We've been called to love other people. And that we would do that with the time that God has given to us, and sharing Christ with people and doing Bible studies with people. And there's just so many things that God has given you guys abilities to do and to be used, that we can just, there's so many opportunities that we would just use that time to the best of his glory. So, what would it look like if this group of men were focused men? Really, I guess that's the challenge. If we would say, God, how do you want me to use your money, your time, your abilities that you've given to me? How can we best expand the kingdom of God, where we can say, I'm doing a great work, I cannot come down. I'm going to say no to certain things so that I can say yes to the greatest thing. And that's really the, and I don't know where you're at in your life and what you're doing, but that is, we all have to answer that question. We all have to say, what is it that you've called me to do? We've got a couple minutes, and I want to hear from some of you guys. I've got a mic. Doug, you got a mic. Has anybody, I guess, you can talk about anything you want, really, but I mean, what has God called you to do? What do you need to say no to? Maybe you've had victory in an area. Maybe this is something that God's challenged you with in the past where you've said, you know, I've had to say no to things. It's gotten out of whack. It's been way out of control. I'm way this way. I'm way that way. Anybody got a testimony just to share about what we're talking about? Not that you've got it figured out. You don't have to have it figured out.
I definitely don't have this area together, but I do say no a lot. I didn't necessarily learn that the hard way. I learned it through a couple specific examples, but my yeses are the commitment I made to my wife when I married her, and my six children, and this book, which is written by God, nobody on this planet, and prayer. I don't have those areas together. Don't look to me as an example or put me on a pedestal, but I do say no a lot.
Good. You got a plan. That's good. Somebody else.
Well, one thing that I kind of I struggled with, I kind of talked about it before, was but treating others with love and not judging them by already sinning against them first instead of loving them first. You know, that's something that I struggle with every day, and something I'm definitely need more help with and working on.
I think you're going to have to go back to Africa, Abe, and review Ted's Three Rules. I think that's something that helps me a lot, and I've probably done it at least 2 days in my life, I think. But his three rules are that in everything we do, we make God look good. And so as I go through my day, man, you know, for all of us, if we all went through one day and our goal was to make God look good, you know, and the people we come in contact with and the way we do our work, I think people would sit up and take notice. The second thing is that we would be changed. And I think just by the nature of making God look good changes us. Mm-hmm. You know, foundationally, you have to be in the Word. You have to spend time in prayer and all those things. But beyond that, you know, because I'm not a long-term planner. You know, I'm not planning out 5 years, 10 years, whatever. But I have enough trouble just saying, today, Lord, my goal is to make you look good. And second, that I would be changed. And third is the thing we usually put first, that we get something done. You know, because as men, we go out, we provide, we do all these things. You know, we're all about doing, you know. But in the doing, I think if we kind of get it switched back around and say, in the doing, Lord, I want to make you look good, I think that puts us a long ways down that road.
Good. Somebody else.
This has been a while, but I know when I was younger, I used to collect a lot of things, specifically baseball cards, basketball cards, lots of various things. And I know that there came a point where I literally spent so much time doing that I noticed me failing to do things I knew I was supposed to do. And one day I just realized I needed to stop it. And the way I did that is I literally took every single one of my baseball cards, all these things, they're worth hundreds, thousands of dollars. And I burned them all. And that's because that's the only way that I was going to get rid of them. And I think sometimes we have to see them get destroyed before we can get rid of it.
Good. Well, there's so much to talk about here. I mean, and I would challenge you, encourage you, you know, in your cell groups as guys, as you get together, talk about this. Hey, what are we doing? What are we spending our time on? What are we spending our money? Who are we serving? What has God called us to do? And ask each other those questions and share with one another those things that, and maybe some of you just need to say no to some stuff or just get rid of some stuff. Maybe you need to do that as well.